KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
President Barack Obama made a proclamation that June is Gay Pride Month. So here we are in June, and we're going to be talking about this topic today with Pastor Stephen Black. Now, Pastor Stephen Black worked in pastoral care ministries for 25 years, and he now works as the executive director of First Stone Ministries. But wait till you hear his story. God brought him out from a homosexual lifestyle into freedom in Christ. Pastor Black, welcome to Encounter.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, Judy.
Tell your story.
Well, it's pretty radical in that I went through some really painful suffering. It began with the encounter with Jesus Christ at my little brother's death. On Mother's Day, May 10th, 1981, it brought such a shift in our family, and that caused me to cry out about eternity. Now, it wasn't for another year and a half before I truly surrendered to the Lord, but it got me to shifting in my thinking because I had been living gay-identified for 8 years prior to that. And I was a young man, 21 years old, and living this homosexual identity. In my most formative years of sexual development, as a result of childhood sexual abuse several times by different men, friends of the family, and people visiting the next-door neighbors, and just different scenarios that brought such confusion into my life. But in 1983, I had this radical transformative experience with some believers that weren't even trying to witness to me. I was just in their home, and all of a sudden, the power of the Holy Spirit, because they believed and they provided an atmosphere of godliness, I was in their home, and I hear this voice in my mind, and my heart began to race, almost pounding out of my chest. And I heard this voice say, "If you do not accept me tonight, you will die."
Wow.
And I knew that that meant
radical call.
Yeah, like death going to hell. I knew that that's what it meant. I just intrinsically knew that I needed to know Jesus like these really sold-out believers. I had been raised in parochial school in a Catholic faith. My parents were Roman Catholic. And even their priests tried to seduce me and tell me it was okay to be gay. So I was a very confused young man. And when I encountered these people, I surrendered my life to Christ that night. And then on the way home, their sister asked me this question. And she said, "Does this mean you're not going to be gay anymore?" And I said, "You know, I guess it means whatever Jesus has for me." And I was just immediately all in for Christ. And so I got home. I prayed over this giant family table Bible, and it was one of those table Bibles that is kind of a relic from the Vatican, and it was blessed of the Pope. It had all those extra pages and pictures of the Vatican. I didn't know where to turn in that thing, and I prayed over it, Judy. I literally flipped it open, and it fell on Leviticus 18, and I saw that it had a title on the top of that chapter, and it said laws on sexual immorality. And I thought, well, this might have something to say about it. And my eyes fell down on verse 21, and it says, "Man shall not lie with a man as he does with a woman. If he does so, he's committed a detestable or an abominable act." And I didn't even know what that word abomination meant. I just knew it meant something horrible. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's right there in the Bible. And the priest had been lying to me. And so long story short, I ended up surrendering completely to Jesus. I got involved in a Southern Baptist church that was experiencing in the late 70s, early 80s, what was called the fullness movement. And we were seeing radical transformative things, Holy Spirit moving, miracles literally ruined for God. And I've been serving Jesus Christ now for going on 39 years.
An amazing story, and how God had you turn to Leviticus 18:21 from your family Bible that you probably hadn't read much of before.
That's right.
And seeing that scripture, that really shows that God is all-powerful and God is all in all.
He really is. If you want to know the truth, see, that's part of the problem. A lot of people don't want to know the truth. They want their narrative or your feeling. And I'm sorry, it was Leviticus 18:22. It's also Leviticus 20:13. But they want their feelings to fit in with their Bible.
Their ideology.
Yes, yeah. And their Jesus belief. They communicate Jesus never said anything about this. Well, he didn't have to. It was understood clearly. It'd be like someone communicating that someone who's a murderer, that we would have to somehow defend that. In first century Christianity, it was understood in Judaism that it was immediate death. And we have the story of John 8, our very passage of scripture for our ministry, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. But Jesus wasn't negating capital punishment. There weren't two or three witnesses. He brought salvation to that woman, and he said, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. So Jesus said 5 chapters earlier that he came not to condemn, but to save. But condemnation is already on the world. But the gay activists and even gay theologians like to point that Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. But the reality is he didn't have to. On the Sermon on the Mount, he made it very clear that not one jot or tittle of the law would pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away before that happens. And so especially with morality and sexual issues and idolatry, that's never changed. Ceremonial, dietary, clothing, you know, yes, those have all changed in the new covenant. But the reality is it's still healthy to eat according to the Mosaic dietary law requirements. It's God's love. God is always about love. Everything he says is about love. And that's the big picture that we see, that he is not a God of wrath when it comes to the crucified Son of God. The wrath has been poured out on him, but wrath is coming. And it's because he's a cleansing God, a God of love that wants to bring about restoration. And he has been so patient for over 2,000 years to give humanity the chance to turn to his Son and believe and have eternal life.
So how did you know, that your life was changed?
Well, immediately I felt the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God became alive to me. As I would start reading the scriptures, things just started making sense, and I was so convicted. I was miserable in my sin. I was never miserable as a practicing homosexual. I celebrated it. I was one of those queer and here and in your face type people. And I just knew, and the power and the presence of his word kept getting confirmed, and he kept drawing me into his love. And the more I was around other believers, the more empowered and encouraged and strengthened I became in my faith. And then my desires began to change. You know, people say people can't change. Well, mine did. And, of course, then the gay activists would say, well, you were never really a homosexual. You were a bisexual. It doesn't matter. It's sexual deviancy and sexual perversion. Unfortunately, as a gay man, I was more drawn to men. But that all started to shift after I gave my life to Christ and put away, actually, the abusive lifestyle I was living. And then within 3 years, the Lord brought a beautiful woman into my life, and we married, and we've been married and we have 35 years, and we have 3 adult children and 3 grandchildren.
So for 37 years, you've been out of that lifestyle. You've been free. So many think that homosexuality is part of our biological makeup, and to change that only leads to future damage. What's the real truth about that?
Great question, because what has gone on in our society really since about 1991 with the Simon LeVay report on his study on hypothalamus glands is the gay narrative and the Hollywood narrative that you're born this way, right? Lady Gaga, you're born this way, baby. And the reality is that the science now and the millions and millions of dollars that have been spent to try to prove that there's some kind of recessive gene or genetic link has now all been debunked. Matter of fact, the largest study that has ever been conducted, the report came out in August of 2019. It was called the Genome-Wide Associative Study. With over 477,000 participants, and guess how many DNA markers, genetic markers they found towards the disposition to homosexuality? Zero.
Zero. Out of 477,000 people participating, they found zero.
That's right. And people can go out there and they can read it. You know, you would think that would have come across all media. And even gay activists will say, oh, we know it's not genetic. We know we're not born this way. We just want everyone to sympathize with us, and we're demanding our ways to be able to behave the way we want to behave.
Give us some more details about this study and what kind of backlash is coming from activists as a result of the findings in this study.
Well, basically, they tried to prove, especially with having that enormous amount of people, that there would be at least some people, and they found nothing. And so that really disheartened them greatly, because they really wanted to be able to say even at least some, but now they found that it's none. But what they did find is environmental factors. This is what we have been saying all along, and this is what God's Word makes it very clear, that there are causality towards the homosexual, what they call an orientation. And that's part of the problem, is legitimizing it by calling it an orientation when God calls it lust and God calls it inordinate desires or unnatural affections. And so we have these orientations that there is some science and understanding that there are environmental factors in, like, the way that someone is raised or their personality traits, their temperaments, the way that they're wired. Yes, there are some things that give a propensity because of the way that someone has in their giftings and temperament towards the opposite sex feelings and desires, like a little boy who feels like he's more artistic, more sensitive and emotional. We would say those are more feminine traits. Or a girl that is very assertive.
Tomboyish.
And, yeah, she's considered to be a lesbian now. And they even say this now. You got grade school kids, elementary school kids, and they're labeling them as young as kindergarten.
Young as kindergarten. Hey, we're going to be right back, Pastor Black. Would you join me for another segment?
Sure, absolutely.
Pastor Stephen Black, former gay, works as executive director now for First Stone Ministries. Wait till you hear some statistics in our next segment concerning emotional challenges that people who have that sexual orientation go through. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Check out more of my interviews at judyredlich.com. That's judyredlich.com. Or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
Friend me on Facebook. Connect with me on LinkedIn.
I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Stephen Black is on my show today. He has been freed from the homosexual lifestyle for the past 37 years, has a wife and three beautiful children. He is executive director of First Stone Ministries. Pastor Black, what are some statistics that people need to know if they start this alternative lifestyle?
We had at First Stone 25 years of client folders. And so we decided to do our own survey of the people that had come through our ministry, because we knew that it was at least 50% of the people that we had served for at least a year, and many of them more than 1 year, went on to live a life free from labels. And we found the bottom line on our stat was that 72 to 73% of the people that came through our ministry that gave at least 1 year, and many of them more, and receive pastoral care counseling and support group for at least 1 year, they all went away living a life completely consecrated to Christ, living a life surrendered to Him. They left the labels of even ex-gay. They go on to live very healthy and productive lives and good citizens and upstanding members in their community churches. And they don't want to even be associated with this. There's people like myself that feel called to testify publicly, but many of these people that we have served go on to live what would be normative heterosexual existence, you know, made in the image of God, male and female. So that's a pretty high stat. But when you look at even unbiased, supposed to be unbiased, Center for Disease and Control, the CDC, they report that homosexual behavior has a much higher disproportionate rate of STDs, drug abuse, alcohol addiction, suicide rates. Among the transgender community, they have a 41% likelihood of taking their lives. The highest demographic of a subset group of people is 41% within the transgender community, even after the sex change operations, like, you know, the Bruce Jenner situation, and others like him that are being paraded. These people, after 5 to 10 years, end up going ahead and taking their lives. They're miserable. And this is even true in the Scandinavian countries that are like 20 years ahead of us concerning this acceptance. And then in female homosexuality, as opposed to male homosexuality with all the rampant STDs, in female homosexuality, you see a greater, higher, disproportionate problem with anxiety, with relating disorders, with mental breakdowns, with an implosion internally. And you have all kinds of mental illness and mental problems. And when you look at the creation of God, how he's made men wired and females wired, it's indicative of the God divine intention of male and female being taken in the complete opposite ways of inordinate and even idolatrous behavior. And what happens? You have destruction. And so we see that the Word of God, again, is underscored as being true, that if you do things his way, your life will be blessed. And if you do things the opposite way, your life will end up in destruction. And even these medical and mental, emotional, psychological facts are on display at the CDC. And there have been other studies that have been done as well that show that homosexual behavior and living a homosexual lifestyle brings dysfunction, and it really harms children as well.
So why are they pushing this propaganda on kids in the educational system so heavily?
You have a lot of people that are immoral, that are living their own lives with kind of a free sex mentality. You have godlessness that has been propagated in our entire culture with removing the Bible and prayer and the commandments. And you have all of this horrible stats and percentages of failed marriages and homes and a lot of hurt and woundingness and sin. And now you have a generation of people that have been raised up in this brokenness and this really dark ideology, because the root of this is secular humanism, is we are the God. And that is very true of the LGBTQ plus sign. And people need to pay attention to what that plus sign is. Because now the American Psychological Association are communicating MAPS and YAPS, minor attractive person, youth attractive person. So legitimizing pedophilia, if you're prepubescent attracted to children, you're called a minor attractive person now rather than a pedophile. If you're postpubescent person, you're now considered a YAP, a youth attractive person. That plus sign means something, but when you look at it, it's secular humanism at its root, and LGBTQ plus sign is really a cult-like mentality with secular humanism, because they demand that you stay in it. Anyone like myself or our ministries that report you can change, we are held under suspect scrutiny, and they are even saying that ruse terms like conversion therapy, and they're saying that anyone that tries to change is doing harm to others. So it's like Hotel California, you can go in, but you can never leave, is what the LGBTQ community communicates. And this needs to be really exposed for what it is. And so now you have teachers, education systems, the NEA, even the Republican Party. Republicans are now promoting this idea that this is normative and that we should embrace it. And now is being taught with Drag Queen Story Hour and all kinds of other nefarious and very ambiguous and distorted ways of teaching our children. So now children are being really, really confused in their most developmental years of even identity in elementary school.
So what do you recommend that we can do as parents, grandparents, and Christians?
I think it's really a huge pressure now on parents to find out who's going to be teaching our children like never before. And quite frankly, because of some of these oppressive ordinances that are happening in different cities and states, they're going to need to remove their children from an environment that are going to indoctrinate them with LGBTQ. That's just the day that we're living in. That puts a lot of pressure on parents and grandparents, but certainly teaching them a Judeo-Christian value system. They need to know the Word of God, and children need to be able to be mentored and trained to stand for truth and righteousness, which I always tell parents, it begins with us, right? It begins with us living the gospel ourselves and living a holy, consecrated life of integrity so that we can be a display of hope to our children. So it begins with us living a completely surrendered life to Jesus and be willing to have a backbone of steel and a heart of compassion for the persecution that will come. Because people will be yelling at you and calling you a bigot, a homophobe, unloving. It is pretty outrageous, and we need to teach our children, we need to children that if they persecuted and killed Jesus, they are certainly going to do that with real Christians.
What kind of training do you give pastors at First Stone Ministries and parents in how to combat these issues?
We begin with, of course, making sure that there's an atmosphere of a really safe environment, kind and loving offering of being able to confess. Confession is so important. Bringing things into the light, being able to talk about your inner world of hurt and pain and sorrow, to provide atmospheres if you've been abused or used or bullied, to be able to provide those atmospheres to bring it into light. And then we do train and give understanding on some of the causality and the pastoral care that is needed. My book talks a lot about this, but there is a checklist of things that should be reviewed about the bitter roots, the places of brokenness, the defense of detachment, the places where there's been bullying and some really painful things that took place in the childhood. And then the exposure to pornography and making sure that technology, making sure that there are clean environments for people to thrive and to become a true disciple of Jesus. You got 70% of the men, the last statistic, evangelical church-going men that are addicted to porn.
So why aren't pastors speaking out about these issues from their pulpits?
What I have encountered is two reasons. One is nickels, numbers, and noses. You know, they're concerned about the finances. They're concerned about their numbers of their church. But number two, a lot of pastors have family members, and so it causes an internal place of conflict and strife in their own homes. They just would rather not have to even deal with it. And quite frankly, it can also cause quite a bit of a stir of being labeled as a hater. And that's the last thing that a Christian or a pastor wants to be labeled with. We're just going to have to get a thicker skin and realize that we need a tender heart, but we have to be able to have a thicker skin when it comes to the name calling, because it's going to come. They're dealing with the fear of man.
President Obama proclaimed June as Gay Pride Month. What do you envision will happen this month?
The homosexual community has vowed to make this the largest Pride celebration on planet Earth for the month of June. And so be looking to see some of the most outrageous ads, advertisement, and a prolific push on Fortune 500 companies to embrace the idea of Pride, and then some of the most outrageous Pride celebrations in gay Pride parades in this country.
And how can we protect our families in this time?
Well, we obviously need to monitor technology, internet, television, and what people are being exposed to. And, of course, stay away from these places that are celebrating Pride.
Pastor Stephen Black is my guest. Freedom Realized is the name of his book. You might want to get a copy. You can get it at freedomrealized.org. What tips can you give parents and pastors, as we close this show, to help them in this dilemma? You know, kids coming home from school saying, hey, mom, I think I was supposed to be born a boy, or I think I was supposed to be born a girl.
Well, I think they do need to get educated so that they feel that they have confidence. The science is all on our side. XX and XY, XX being female, XY being male, that the sex chromosomes never change, that a person is innately, biologically created male and female. We need to be able to be educated on the causality and some of the root problems to the insecurities and the fears that are going on in our children and the confusion so that we really can help them. Resources like First Stone, Restored Hope Network, different ministries help do that. All of that is on our website at firststone.org. But they also need to have their own consecrated life to Jesus Christ as Lord. And many of these parents need support themselves. So we have a parent, family, and friends support group. There's other organizations out there that really help equip parents. And now there's even a documentary called InHisImage.movie. It's free online. And there's also a resource tab with over 20 other videos that help equip people to get their questions answered. And that's what's really important, is that they know the truth and that they have the resources.
So firststone.org is the place to go to find out about a lot of these resources and scriptures that show you what God's word says about this lifestyle. Pastor Black, thank you so much for being my guest. We pray that this will help you as you courageously take a stand for who God created each one of us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.